A service for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, July 19th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that, ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A scripture reading now from Isaiah 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not one. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now a sermon entitled, Jesus, Our Rock and Our Redeemer. It's often said how it's a good thing that we don't know the future. This is in spite of how we often wish we did know what was coming. People are more anxious now than ever, concerned about a future which they cannot possibly perceive. So wouldn't it be better if we did know the future? You might think so, but the truth is it's best that we don't know. Living with uncertainty helps make life exciting. Besides, not knowing the future helps us focus on the present. If you're always concerned with the future, you actually rob yourself of the present, the everyday joys of life. Simply live as it comes to you, and that's one day at a time. Besides, not knowing when a problem arises and when trouble comes causes us to be resilient. We learn to roll with the punches, get ourselves back up, deal with what's placed before us. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. This enables us to develop in our character and maturity, learning, growing, and adapting through each and every struggle. In addition, not knowing the future helps keep life more interesting. We never know if a big change is coming our way or when it might happen. And there's a joy that comes with new surprises that arise which we never saw coming. Yes, though we may find ourselves wishing otherwise, it's a good thing that you and I don't know the future. However, none of this means that the future is unknown. It's simply unknown to us. When asked questions about the future, one might reply, God only knows. And this is true, for though the future is concealed to us, it is known to Almighty God. Our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah speaks of this. It records the Lord telling his people just who he is. For though there may be many gods in the minds of people, in reality there is only one God. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me there is no God. He then asks his appointed and ancient people, Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Of course no one can, for there is no other. All other so-called gods that people worship are non-existent. There is no one else to worship. Here is God's proof of this. He puts forth a challenge to other so-called gods. He says, Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Not even Satan, who might very well be animating some of the false gods, is able to predict what will happen. No other being has a view to the future like the Lord, the King of Israel. The Lord God has has proved who he is time and again. How so? By revealing to mankind future events which in time come to pass. Prophecy after prophecy has been fulfilled in the fullness of time. Something that is most fascinating in our text is that though God makes clear that there is no other God, he himself is more than one. If this confuses you, well, it should. Nonetheless, after God says that he is the King of Israel, he also speaks about someone else who is his Redeemer, the Lord of Hosts. Here it is being revealed that though there is only one God, there is at least two persons. There is both the All-King Almighty and the Redeemer in charge of angel armies. Well, friends, the fact that there is a Redeemer is of great consequence to you and to me. The reason for this is because it has also been revealed to us that we are sinners before God, for we were conceived in sin. We were born with sinful natures that oppose God, preferring to fabricate false gods, which are no gods at all. It has been revealed to us by God that because of this, sinful mankind's future is not only death, but eternal condemnation. However, the fact that there is a Redeemer is good news. A Redeemer is one who is both willing and able to buy us back. Yes, God, in his steadfast love, wants to purchase us for himself, redeeming us from sin, death, and hell. So many details of what would happen, revealed to the prophets centuries prior, were fulfilled when Christ was born. He is the Redeemer, true God, who for us and for our salvation became a human being. Listen to this from Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Predictions of the future, including that he would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, worshipped by kings, raised in Nazareth, and so many others, came to be just as the Lord had said. So many other past predictions of Jesus have come true. For example, Judas' betrayal, the flogging and crucifixion, and even how his clothing would be gambled away. Even that he died without the breaking of his bones, and that he was buried in a rich man's tomb, had been predicted. What is the death of the Redeemer all about? It is about paying the penalty for your sins and mine, that all who believe in him and are baptized might receive the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul states that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Yes, all who trust in Jesus are redeemed. And another thing that our Redeemer did was rise again from the dead. The next verse continues that after Christ died, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Yes, Jesus' resurrection had also been predicted centuries before it happened. Just consider this verse from Job, when he long ago was moved to proclaim, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth." Jesus died, but lives again. He is coming back to set all things right when he returns to judge the living and the dead. This is why we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. You and I don't know the future, and this can be scary. It's understandable why so many people are anxious about what might happen. However, for you and I, who are redeemed through faith in Jesus, it's okay. After all, we know the one who knows the future. In addition, as the King of the universe, the Almighty controls the future. He is the one who loves us and is on our side. Returning now to our text from Isaiah, the Lord says to his redeemed, "Fear not, nor be afraid." As we ponder our futures, often with confusion and uncertainty, This is helpful for us to hear. The future never surprises the Lord. He points this out, asking, Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Certainly, through all the fulfilled prophecies, the Lord shows that He is the one upon whom we can rely. He loves us, and He will only allow to come our way what will be used for good. Now, to clarify, everything that is coming our way is not good. You will face sickness, death will claim your loved ones, financial issues will likely arise, some of your relationships may shatter, you may be certain that death will come for you too, and that could be at any time for any of us. Just consider how Job unexpectedly suffered. Therefore, take to heart these words from Romans 8:28, when Paul says, And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Therefore, come what may, don't worry about it. Live life one day at a time, and should evil befall, somehow, in some way, God will work something good from it. In fact, He'll make something beautiful. Consider this verse from Ecclesiastes 3. He has made everything beautiful in its time. As you are going through whatever it may be, you won't likely see this. However, in time, likely you will. Continue to trust in the Lord with all your heart. After all, as the Lord asks Isaiah, Is there a God besides me? He rightly answers, There is no God, I know not any. There is no rock, I know not any. He is the only God, the Father, King of the universe, the Son, the world's Redeemer, and there is the third person, the Holy Spirit, also watching over us, praying for us on our behalf. The triune God is our rock. We stand firm on Him. A helpful Christian quote that I like to use when I start feeling anxious about the future is this. I don't know what the future may hold, but I know the one who holds the future. Therefore, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Do not be worried about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Instead, live one day at a time, with Jesus, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.